Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
What's going on, family? We are back once again. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev, in the building.
And Rigel is in the building as well. It's your girl, Rigel.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. This is Brother Mufasa.
And we are Collective Minds Radio, where we ain't all got to think alike, but it's one thing for sure, we all got to think, you dig? So welcome back, y'all, for another, powerful discussion. Y'all know how we do. Before we get started, you know, how was everybody week? And do y'all got any announcements for the family?
My week was great. No announcements, but I did have a great week.
All right, all right. Brother Mufasa, how was your week, brother?
All is well, too. Announcement, shout out to Better Family Life, who did the expo today here in the St. Louis area. Anybody who's interested in what Kwanzaa is all about, I advise you to Google it up and also check out Better Family Life. They do a lot of good works here in the community. So, again, shout out to Better Family Life and the Kwanzaa Expo that they put together this Saturday and Sunday.
All right, yes, indeed. Shout out to them. Shout out to Better Family Life. And, y'all, so we go ahead and get into it. Today we are talking about the pros and cons of public schools. Now, y'all know if y'all been listening, we are in the St. Louis area, but I'm getting some feedback, y'all. Somebody back there. We are in the St. Louis area, but I'm sure that, you know, what we're going to talk about can be applied to any major city, you know, public school situation where there's a large number of black students. So we're going to get into the pros and cons of public schools. Callers, give us a call. This is Collective Minds Radio. It's not a spectator sport. And I want to thank you all for listening as well. But, you know, chime in. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and get into it. And we go start with Rigel Starr. What do you think the pros and cons of public schools are?
Well, I'll keep this really quick and brief. The pros is that it's a place that our kids can go. Well, it's supposed to be a place where our kids can go and learn different things and get educated for society purposes. You know, the bad thing about it is that we don't get the same equal treatment as others. You know, so we just need to get this all fixed up. And I'll keep mine right there. I can go in a little later on in the show.
All right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. My brother Mufasa. Now, let me just say this real quick because, you know, we in the St. Louis area, and my kids also go to public schools. You know what I'm saying? Now, my kids are still young. Pre-K and first grade. So as we, you know, get into the conversation, it'll be good for those who have kids in the public schools. I know my brother Mufasa, you know, has had kids in the public schools, and he go share some of his experiences. You know, so I just wanted to put that out there just so we can know kind of the space that we all coming from as far as, you know, dealing and being involved in the public school system. So go ahead, my brother Mufasa.
Well, I'll tell you quickly, as far as pros and cons, the only pros I can come up with at this time is that the kids get to meet up and have some social activities with each other, where they get to play with other kids. But I have a lot of cons with the St. Louis public school system due to the fact of, like what Brother Kev and Roger alluded to, the unequalness of how black kids are treated within the public school system. We have certain schools that were deemed to be like a trade school, so to speak, or a school that's a cut above just a normal public school. We call them magnet schools here. And these schools are deteriorating, in my opinion, from within. And the public school system, along with the way that the administration runs it, in my opinion, they're not doing a good job to keep these schools held up to a high standard. And in my opinion, it's by design. Until someone can prove me wrong, it's by design that these schools are set up for our children, and I'm saying black children, to fail. So that's what I got. That's how I'm feeling in the nutshell right now. I'll build on it a little bit later in the show also.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, my brother. So we have two special guests that are going to share some experiences that they've had in dealing with not just, well, public schools in general, but not just St. Louis, but possibly, you know, county schools and just schools that, you know, have a large black population. They're kind of dealt with a little bit different. So we're going to bring in two guests to share some of their experiences with us. Do we have the two guests on the phone?
Yes, we do. We have them on.
Okay, yes, indeed. First of all, I just want to thank you ladies for sharing some of your time with us this evening. And I believe we have Lisa and Dale on the phone. So I'll go to Lisa first, then Dale. I guess if you can give us an introduction about yourself and talk about the situation you had at the school. I don't know if you want to name the school. That'd be nice. Just the information that you can give us and share about your experience and the experience of your child in the public school.
Yes. I live in Riverview Gardens School District. In 2015, my son started school at Moline Elementary. He was 5 years old.
Okay.
2 weeks after school started, he was locked inside the school during a fire drill. And the way I found out, because he told me when he got home, like, his teacher didn't call me, the principal, no administrators from the school called me. My baby told me when he got home, he had been crying all day, and he told me the story. So I didn't even know when the school lose your child that they don't contact you. I was, like,
right.
Shocked.
Right.
So it was like brushed under the rug, that incident by the school. A few months later, he was in the restroom. Kindergartners were allowed to go to the restroom with all age groups. He was in the restroom, and he was choked by an older student who choked him and tried to pull his pants down. And that terrified my son. It really terrified him. He was scared to walk in the school halls alone, in the cafeteria to class. He was just scared. So I became a parent volunteer because I wanted him to feel safe at school, and I wanted all our children to feel safe at school, and I wanted to help my school, my neighborhood school. So I became a parent volunteer, and it made my son feel safe seeing me around the school. And, you know, other kids, you know, liked me and stuff. So I was a well-received parent volunteer. I'm going to just put it that way, working in the school closely with the superintendent and the principal and the parent liaison. So after attack on my son, like I said, kindergartners were going to the bathroom by themselves. But once I notified the superintendent, one of like an assistant superintendent over communications or something like that, she made all kindergartner teachers take the kindergartners to the bathroom. I remember I seen that happen for a few weeks. This was at the end of the year. I remember, and I think it was an issue with them because they was not used to like going to the bathroom with the kids. The principal said that the children need privacy. That's why no one goes to the restroom with the kids. And I felt like as a parent that kids don't need that much privacy in the world, that not even the principal can be in the bathroom when they are in the restroom. That's how I felt. But they felt like the kids needed privacy. To make this long story short, okay, so it's toward the end of the year. I witnessed a lot. I seen a lot as a parent volunteer. So I emailed the SAB, the Special Appointed Board, Administration Board for the district. I emailed them about everything that happened to my son and everything I witnessed in the school. And this was in January 2016. I never got a reply back from the board about my email, about everything I emailed to them, because I asked them to reply back to me. February, this is all I remember, February 4th, 2016, I was at the school volunteering. It was a good day. The principal sent me an email. She was like, thank you for helping us create a good education environment for all students. Me and the parent liaison, we ate lunch together that day. It was just like a good day volunteering at the school. The next day, February 5th, I was at home. A safety director from the district knocked on my door and hand-delivered me a letter and said that I was banned from entering all district properties due to bad behaviors and disruptions on school grounds. And I was shocked. I just couldn't believe my eyes. I just couldn't believe my eyes. It messed with me mentally, and I'm trying to hold it together because this is really a hard story to tell, because you really don't think schools would do this, but they do.
That's so right. They're supposed to protect our kids. They're supposed to protect our kids. They're supposed to be there for parents and kids. It's ridiculous.
For families.
And I understand. I feel your pain. And I understand exactly how you feel. So take your time, get yourself together.
Yeah, take your time now. If you just joined in as family, if you just joined in as this Collective Minds Radio, we're talking about the St. Louis Public Schools. We have a young lady on here who's sharing her experience with us and all that she's been going through with the dealing with these public schools. So you can go ahead and continue, sis.
Okay, so she hand delivered me the letter. Okay, so the next day, I just withdrew my son from school because I couldn't believe that I'm a single mother. How could my kindergartner get to school without me? They banned me 1,000 feet from all district properties. I just couldn't believe it. So I withdrew my son from school because I feared for him. In the statement I wrote, in the letter I wrote when I withdrew him from the school, I said, I fear for him to be in the care of a school that will lie on me.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no way my child can go to a school that will falsely ban me for no reason. So after that, I homeschooled my son. And then, like a week later, I sunshined Riverview Garden School District to find out why they were banning me. And I had to go to their lawyer's office to pick up the documents from the Sunshine request. And in the documents, it wasn't nothing but like the thank you emails I had from everybody in the district thanking me for my role as a parent volunteer. Then it was like two documents that looked sketchy. They were not signed or dated. They weren't emailed. They was just typed up. And one was from the principal and one was from a janitor. Now, I know the principal because I work closely with her, but this janitor, I don't know this man. I've seen him a few times in the school. I didn't work with janitors. I don't know you. If I walk past you, I don't know you. But anyway, in his statement, this janitor wrote that he feared for his life. He's scared of me. I'm at every corner. He can't come to work or not come to work. He's scared to come to work. It's just like I was doing so many terrible things to this man that I don't know. And the principal basically said everything he was saying. I was campaigning the school, all kind of crazy lies. I emailed these people personally and the superintendent and said, you were defaming my character. You wrote lies on me. Did you write this? And, you know, just asking them, you know, about these statements, and nobody ever replied to me. And I emailed their personal accounts, the principal, that janitor, and the, you know, the superintendents, you know. But to make the long story short, I've been through the whole chain of command from, you know, the principal to the superintendent to Detsy, you know what I'm saying, to my state rep, to my senator, to my governor, to the U.S. Department of Education. And I came to find out no one has jurisdiction over schools. Schools got local control. And this, and they got full immunity to do whatever they want, and they have been destroying families for years, for decades.
Wow.
Yes, indeed. Yes, well, indeed.
That was the response you got back from who in particular? Anybody in particular you could tell us that you found that out about the schools having the individual jurisdiction?
Okay, so like Detsy, let's talk about Detsy. Okay, when we talk about our schools, okay, in St. Louis, they all is St. Louis public schools because this is like just St. Louis one city for real. No matter how they break up the municipalities, every school is a St. Louis public school unless you like a charter or a private. So Detsy, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, runs the schools, oversees the schools, have all the power over all the schools. They the ones that give the schools back their accreditation, take their accreditation. When parents call Detsy, Detsy tell you that they cannot help you.
They send you back to the school.
Yeah, they'll send you right back to the school or to a nonprofit organization. Why is Desi referring parents to nonprofit organization? Why are you guys not helping us if you guys are oversee the schools?
Right.
Yes, indeed. Now, this brother Kev. Now, are you seeking any type of legal action towards the school, or what are you looking for, you know, to resolve the issue, or what would be sufficient for you, you know, to resolve the issue?
So no, I'm not seeking no legal action as of now. I think when it first happened, wasn't nobody able to take the case. It was like, you know, it's like it's just nothing you can do when this type of thing happened, basically. Lawyers is saying you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. It's nothing you really can do. So what I have done on my own is I speak out about it. Like, for instance, where I live, Riverview, talking about Riverview. Riverview has been without accreditation for 10 years. They just became provisional accredited through cheating, too, on certain falsifying records, attendance records, and all that. But what was I trying to get at? What was we talking about? My mind be so...
No. I was just asking you about, you know, any type of legal action, or what are you looking for, you know, to resolve the issue as far as, you know, what's
okay,
been going
so
on.
Okay, so I basically, yeah, like I speak out. Like back in 2016 to 2017, I used to speak out, and you know what I'm saying? I feel like I support school choice now because I feel like in my community, we have no options. Our kids are zip codes. if you live where I live, that's the only choice you have for your child is Riverview. So you could imagine how many parents feel like they failed their child when that's your only option. We don't have choice. So I'm an advocate for school choice. I believe in options. I want options. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to pick, you know what I'm saying, or direct the best educational path for my child.
Mm-hmm. Okay, indeed. So you, just one more quick question. Now, just if you're just joining this family, this Collective Minds Radio, we are talking about the pros and cons of public schools, and we have a young lady here sharing her experience. Now, you say, do you currently homeschool your child, and how is that going? And, you know, give us some tips on as far as homeschooling go.
Okay, well, no, see, back in 2016, I only did it for the remainder of his kindergarten year. I couldn't do
it
forever.
Gotcha.
Yes,
gotcha.
And but with me living in a felon school district, the law was set up, you know, with the transfer program and stuff like that. So I was able to do other things than keep my child at Riverview, and I refused to. He would never step foot in a Riverview Garden school just based on the, you know, what they did to me. And it mentally messed with me today. I never, you know, got help, but I think I need to see somebody because, I mean, I'm tearing up now, and this happened in 2016, and it breaks my heart. And I'm finding more cases and more cases. But this is what I wanted to share with you guys. In 2016, I spoke out at a DETSE, a Department of Elementary and Secondary Education board meeting at Riverview Garden School. And I told everyone what happened to me. I said that they falsely banned me out of the district. The alderwoman at the time, her name was Shantae Young. She was the alderwoman of Moline Acres. She stood up after I spoke. She said, I do not know this woman, but she's the sixth parent that has been banned from the district this month. Back in 2016, Riverview were banning concerned parents when they were trying to get their accreditation back. So people who were speaking out or had problems in the district, they were banning us. And parents, you know what I'm saying, you really don't know what to do when the school tell you, you know, you banned off the property. You don't know what to do. And I know so many parents just walked away and, you know, didn't advocate for themselves. So what I try to do now is, you know what I'm saying, connect with a lot of parents and advocate for parents that's going through the problems in these failing school systems.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Well, we thank you.
And we're going to definitely, I was just going to say, sis, I know you might not have a lot of time tonight, but we definitely going to have to stay in touch with you and see what other resources we can send your way, and if you can continue to share this story with other people, because this type of thing cannot be unchecked. You know what I'm saying? So we need people like you and those parents to, you know, stay diligent in the process. So we're going to continue to work with you, sis, and see if we can find any other people that's fighting in the same cause so we can try to work together on this, because this is ridiculous.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much, because education is the new civil rights issue of our time. It really is.
Right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yep. So we appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. We do want to get to the phone lines here real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Someone may have a question for you, sister. I don't know if you want to stick around, but let's go to the phone lines. Okay, let's go to the phone lines, take a call or two, and then we have another guest as well who's going to share her story and experience dealing with public schools. So, Roger, you want to take a call?
Okay, we can go to area code 314-335. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment? Okay. Maybe just
peace, caller. Oh, they're probably just listening. All right. Let's do
okay,
one more and then
we
can go to the, yeah.
Okay. Area code 314-459. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Hello?
Caller.
Please,
314-459. Okay.
All right, no problem. Yeah, they probably just listening in. So we'll get back to the phone lines, family. If you just joined us, give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. And we are talking about the pros and cons of public education. And like the sister was speaking on, you know, it seems like the state is controlling these schools. Like DESE, which is the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education that she was speaking of, this is the entity in Missouri, you know, that are controlling these schools. You know, it always trickled down from the top. So, you know, if ever there's an issue with these schools, after the principal, you know, you go to the superintendent, but then DESE, I believe, is the top institution that, you know, controls these schools. So if any fingers should be pointed, you dig what I'm saying, it should go to the head and to the top, you know, of these institutions. But let's bring in our other guest.
Brother Kev. Before you go, let me say this, too, because the caller said something about what happened to her son in the restroom. And I want to add to that because my daughter, and she just recently graduated from the public school system, told me that she had an incident she didn't tell me this until within the past couple of months, that she had an incident way back when she was in elementary school that she never even told me about. Same thing where a student, an older student, female, approached her in the restroom and was touching her. So I don't understand also why do they let these kids go to the restroom without supervision. You know, you got all types of kids. This is a school. It's not like the kid is at their home. Kids are supposed to be supervised. If the parent is at home or you at work, you expecting these teachers to look out for your children, not just let them run rampant. So that's something that's going to have to be changed. I don't understand that policy at all.
Yeah, agreed. I definitely agree with that, brother. Let's go ahead and bring in our other guest. Are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Yes, indeed. Now, before we get started, I guess let the listeners know, you know, some about what you said.
No, I said make sure you tell her name.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. And we didn't get the first caller's name as well. But yeah, if you could tell the caller your name, just give us a brief background of your story and your experience you've had with the public schools.
Oh, sure. My name is Dale, and I have not had a whole lot of experience with the St. Louis Public School District. My children are actually older. I have two sons that are, one is in his 30s and one is in his late 20s, and they did not go to St. Louis Public Schools outside of preschool, which I had a wonderful experience. Now I have a 15-year-old daughter. And my daughter, when she started school, she did start in the St. Louis Public School District. She started at Wilkerson Preschool, which is a magnet preschool, and she did a wonderful job there. There was an incident that we had, unfortunately, where she was left on the school bus at the time, and I removed her from St. Louis Public Schools because of the way that we were treated then. So fast forward, my daughter went to charter schools from that point on to eighth grade, one charter school where she graduated from with honors. We had a school principal at the time from her current high school that went to her charter school to recruit her to come to the high school. And I will mention the high school. It is a Gateway STEM high school. And for those who are unfamiliar with Gateway STEM is actually the old O'Fallon High School in South St. Louis. So my daughter was recruited to go to that school. My husband and I kind of tossed around the idea, and we said, okay, we will try it. Now, going back a little bit to the question you guys first asked, what are the pros and the cons of public school? The biggest pro for parents is that it's totally free. But it's not totally free because we as parents our tax dollars and everything pay for these schools, and they've lost accreditation, they've gotten back accreditation, we've been back and forth with them, but yet our taxes are constantly increased. So I don't. So the con with that, I've told you the pro. The con with that for me is that you're constantly asking for tax increases, but I don't see any increases in development of administration, curriculum, or anything within the St. Louis Public Schools.
That's right.
I see a lack of caring and compassion from the teachers. I see a lack all the way, as you were speaking about, from the top to the bottom, from the new superintendent that we have as well. I don't feel like he cares about the students at all and what is happening in these St. Louis public schools. And I can say that by the way I have been treated throughout my dilemma with my daughter. Last year, when my daughter eventually started school at Gateway STEM, she went through some bullying that was constantly reported, and we eventually found out she was being bullied by a student who had some academic problems at her elementary school and should not have been admitted to Gateway STEM High School in the first place based on their rules and based on some private things that another administrator had told me. The bullying was constant. My daughter was called names. They told her she talked white. Why was she so proper? Why was she this? Why was she that? And after going to that school to meet with the administrators on that, I became uncomfortable with the high school. They assured me that everything would be fine and just, you know, let them handle things. The principal was new, and let me add this. Had I known that Gateway STEM had had a total of 13 principals in 9 years, that school would not have even been considered. So when the principal came to recruit my daughter at her elementary school, that was one of the things that he left out about Gateway STEM. My daughter wants to be a veterinarian. She's wanted to be a veterinarian since she was 3 years old. Also, she wants to be a pilot. Gateway STEM has a Air Force ROTC program. They have a veterinarian program, an EMT program. They have a lot of programs in this school. The programs are promoted. The education in the building is not. So what I mean when I say that is that they are advertised as a flagship school, but in the end, the children are not getting what they need out of that school, and you can tell that there is a problem just by me saying a few minutes ago, there have been 13 principals at that school now within 10 years. I remember when I was in school, you know, I had one principal all the way through, you know. There is a problem, and the problem started long before my child stepped on grounds of that school. So through the bullying in her freshman year, things were said to her. She would always call me. She would go to the principal, to her counselor. She was even threatened by a boy who was talking gun talk, gun play. I took those text messages to school. Well, actually, I emailed them because I learned I had to keep a paper trail with them as well, because certain things that I would discuss with them, when it was discussed in front of others, that particular teacher or administrator didn't remember. So I knew I had to start keeping a paper trail. After the gun threat was reported not only to the assistant principal, the principal, all the way up to the superintendent, I was told that the problem would be handled. Less than 3 weeks later, I found out that the person who had threatened my daughter with this gun, because she wasn't allowed to date and she told him that, he was sitting next to class with her, next to her in a class less than 3 weeks later. So it wasn't taken seriously at all. we went on and we made it through the end of the year with a lot of bullying going on. My daughter was trying to ignore it. She was even told when she goes through things at school, she doesn't always have to come and report it. She doesn't always have to tell her mother. She didn't tell me that part until she had gotten to the end of the school year. Fast forward to her sophomore year after the summer. I'm sorry, did you need me to stop?
No, go ahead. No, I was just...
Okay.
Go ahead. Just pissing me off.
Okay. They felt like by her coming from a smaller charter school and coming to a very large high school, she came from a school with a little bit under 200 students going to a high school with over 1,200 students. So they felt like she was experiencing some anxiety going to a bigger school and everything that comes on top of the normal freshman jitters. So they told her to stop calling so much. She would be fine. They would take care of her. She'd be okay. We made it through the end of the school year, but even then I had a slew of emails that I had sent back and forth when she was telling me things that were basically, you know, I was written off, ignored. One time, the principal did call me, and she said she would like to meet me. I told her that I had already gone through the background checks and everything. I was a volunteer, just like Miss Lisa was in Riverview. I was a volunteer in the school. I was there throughout the summer for dance team practice. In fact, I had become the president of the parent committee for Gateway STEM's dance team. So I was very involved in school. They had a viewing of the solar eclipse. Remember when we had the solar eclipse last year? And there's over 1,200 students in that school, and they had invited all of the parents to come up and watch the eclipse with their kids. I understand that a lot of parents work, but out of 1,200 students, only two showed up. I was one of them. So then I decided to get involved in the PTA due to lack of parent participation. So I went through and I got involved in the PTA. I was a parent volunteer. I was the president of her dance team, of the parent committee for the dance team. I, you know, provided snacks, everything. I was, to make a long story short, I was involved in her school. And so was her father. So was her father. Very active. Her father actually became the official photographer and security for the dance team, did the parades with them and everything. So both of her parents were always present. Fast forward into this year, after she was told to stop telling so much, basically, she was doing great. Her first progress report, she was sitting at a 3.5 grade point average. She was on student council and on the dance team. Everything was fine. She was doing great. She had started being bullied a little bit throughout school, throughout the beginning of the year. She went to school on September 28th. School actually started August 16th or 17th, I believe, of last year. She went to school on September 28th. And she had heard chatter in the hallways and people laughing at her and everything. People were telling her that this particular girl was saying that she was going to beat her up. She was going to jump on her. She was going to do this. She was going to do that because of what my daughter had been told in prior, you know, the prior school year. Just ignore it. Kids will talk. That's what she did. She went on to lunch. She was sitting down talking with some of her dance team sisters. And the girl and her crew came into where she was, and they just started cursing, using foul language, but they never used my daughter's name. One of the dance team members noticed, not my daughter, but another person noticed that the girl was looking at my daughter as she was speaking. And she said, "Who are you talking to? We're not talking about you. We're talking about homecoming." This is September 28th. Homecoming was October 10th. And they were talking about homecoming. So the girl did some cursing and everything to the other girl, not my daughter. My daughter got up to leave the area. And when she passed by the girl said a few things to her, and then she hit her. Not my daughter hit her. The girl hit my daughter. because my daughter was in the Air Force program, and one of the rules is if you hit someone, get into a fight in your Air Force uniform, you will be kicked out of the program. That's the last thing that she wanted because she had plans. I'm going to graduate from high school, you know, with this Air Force stuff under my belt. I'm going to go into the Air Force with rank. I'm going to learn how to fly planes, and I'm going to have them to pay for my degree so I can become a veterinarian. That's been her plan. So she didn't want to mess it up. She took that punch, went from the second level of the school down to the first level. By the time she got down to the first level from one side of the school, the girls had come down the other, run past the security guards, and started cursing her and saying all these things to her. So my daughter said, "So you want to fight me?" And the girl said, "Yes." And as she was saying yes, she was pulling her arm back to hit my daughter. My daughter caught her arm, and they began to fight. She began to defend herself because she had already hit her once.
Mm-hmm.
Security guard got into the fight, wrapped his arms around my daughter, and some people who are from the St. Louis area who are on this call, who are listening to this broadcast, may remember my daughter and I were on the news on KMOV Channel 4. The story can be looked up online as well. And the video can be seen where the security guard wrapped his arms around my daughter, pulls her down to the floor. The girls then jumped on top of her while he was holding her and started punching at her. The other girls that were around started kicking and trying to hit her as the security guard was holding her on the floor. To make a long story short, let's fast forward a bit. After the fight, I didn't receive a phone call from the school at all. I knew nothing about what had happened. A parent called me, and she said, she said, "Is Naya okay?" I said, "What do you mean, is Naya okay? Naya's at school." She said, "Naya was in a fight today." I said, "Excuse me?" I said, "Naya wasn't in the fight. No one has called me." I said, "How long ago did this happen?" She said, "A little bit over an hour ago." I said, "No one has contacted me." I said, "Let me call you back." I started calling the school. I started texting Naya, calling Naya's phone. The school wouldn't answer the phone because of caller ID. Naya couldn't answer the phone, and I'll tell you why shortly. My husband called the school, and they wouldn't answer his phone calls either because of caller ID. He called from his job phone, which they didn't know that number, and they answered. He says he was calling about Naya. He had heard she had been involved in the fight. They told him that everyone was tied up and the principal herself was tied up, and she would call him back. To this day, we're still waiting on her to call us back about this fight. So after that, I guess they realized, okay, they knew about this fight. So they called me. It wasn't the principal. It was the dean of students. He says, "I have Naya here. She was involved in the fight." He began to tell me the story about the fight. Naya is saying that is not what happened because, first off, she didn't give her side of the story to him. She gave her side of the story to the school principal. The school principal relayed the story to him, and Naya said it was incorrect. So when he called me, that's when I found out why Naya couldn't call me, because she was very upset, and they had taken her to a part of the school that wasn't even used anymore. They had my daughter there by this time for almost 2 hours. They had taken her phone. She asked to call her mother from the school phone. They said she couldn't call her mother. They told her she needed to write a statement. So they made her write a statement and everything before she could call me. And because we were already calling the school, that is why they called us. Otherwise, they would have given her a note and sent her home. So after the conversation with this dean of students, I said to him, asked him a few questions. He says, "I don't know anything." He says, "This is Dr. Phillips knew everything. that he didn't know. I said, well, I would like to speak with her. I will have her to call you. To this day, I'm still waiting on her to call me about this fight. So going forward, it was towards the end of the day of school. I said, I'm going to come and pick her up. And then I realized I didn't have my car. I had someone else had my car that day. I don't even remember what it was, but I didn't have my car. But I said she could Uber home. She could take a taxi home. He says, no, it's almost the end of the day. She says, Naya, do any of those girls ride your bus? She said, no. He said, I'm going to put her in a safe place until the end of the day. And then I'm going to have an administrator to take her out and put her on her bus. They took her to in-school suspension, and that's where she was to stay for about the next 20 minutes or so. And by that time, the buses would be coming. A security guard who I had an unfavorable encounter with last year because she didn't know I was Naya's mother, and as Naya was walking down the hallway, she said some horrible things about my daughter. And I said, excuse me? I'm her mother. She didn't know that. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so if you're just joining the family, this is Collective Minds. Hold on, before you go back. We are talking about the pros and cons of public school, and we have Dale on the line talking to us about an incident with her daughter being bullied, ended up getting into a fight, and, you know, she wasn't contacted in time, and things have been, perspiring as she's been dealing with this incident. So, you know, those just catching up, we wanted to let you know. If we got any callers on the line, we will get to you as well as soon as Dale finishes up her story. Go ahead, Dale.
Thank you. So this security guard who I hadn't seen since last year during this incident, Naya calls me on the phone after she was taken to ISS probably about 5 minutes later, and she says, Mom, the security guard who you had the issue with last year, she's in here telling me I have to get out of the school. That I've been suspended, I have to get out of the school. I said, where is Mr. Winfrey, who said you could stay there until your bus came? I don't know. I said, well, let me speak with her. She says, Naya says, my mom wants to speak with you. The security guard's response was, I don't have to talk to parents. I have a job to do. And you have been suspended. You have to get out of the school. I said, you were put there because they said they didn't know where the other girls were. The security guard takes her outside. I have Naya to put me on speakerphone, and I say to the security guard, if something happens to my daughter and you guys don't know where those other students are, then you're going to have a problem with me. That is what I told her. Naya said the security guard yawned, which I heard her go, huh, like she was signing me off, and Naya said she laid down on the concrete in the back of the school, like I'm boring or I'm not talking about anything to her.
And this is an adult.
This is an adult. Fast forward, I wrote Naya ended up on her bus coming home. I wrote an email to Mr. Winfrey about what had occurred and why had it occurred. He responded back to me that Monday saying, after he spoke with me, plans changed. He didn't have time to call me back. But because there were a lot of kids in ISS, they didn't know if the girls who were involved in the fight were in there also. So, therefore, he had the security guard to take Naya out to the back of the school. I said, well, why didn't she just communicate that to us rather than treating us the way that she did? That was the last time I communicated with him. I also asked him to ask Dr. Phillips to call me because I still had not gotten the information, the correct information, because he didn't know anything about what had happened during this fight. I'm still waiting on that phone call. Moving forward, Naya was suspended for 5 days for protecting herself. She was, when she went back to school 5 days later, well, let me back up a bit. I skipped over something very important. That Monday is when I communicated with him through email about the security guard. That Tuesday, I received a knock on my door from a security guard in the building that I live in, and the manager from the building that I live in. It was a security guard from the school serving me a letter banning me from all St. Louis public school property. That story can also be seen on Channel 4 because I contacted them again. I didn't understand why I was being banned, but what they wrote on the letter was I had used vulgar language, which was untrue. at all. I called the police. Naya had been receiving some cyberbullying threats, and this story is long. I'm going to cut it short so we can get to the lines. But I called the police because of the cyberbullying. The police got my messages and everything that we had collected from the kids threatening Naya. She better not come back to school. Some of the people from the other girl's family were sending her all type of messages. The police got involved. They wanted to know what did the cyberbullying extend from, and I told them about the fight at the school. They went to the school the next day, pulled the videotapes on the fight. They called me and asked me, after what they had seen, if I wanted to press charges against the girls who were 17 and almost 18 years old, four of them, for assaulting my 15-year-old daughter, from what they saw. I told them yes. The very next day, I receive a phone call saying, you're no longer banned from the school. Why did you ban me in the first place? So I was banned a total of 2 days. And I was only unbanned because I went further than a lot of parents go, and I called the police and everything. So when the police got involved, I think they saw how serious I was at pursuing this matter with my daughter. After that happened, there has been nothing but retaliation against my daughter. There's some things I can speak about. There's some things that I can't because I do have attorneys involved in this situation now. Naya has been retaliated every single week by the school administration since this happened. She has been kicked off of the dance team. She has been kicked off of student council. She was put back on the dance team. She was kicked off the dance team. And just last week, she was kicked out of ROTC because of her behavior. Now, she should have been kicked out in the beginning because she had a fight in her uniform. Last thing I want to say, and that I can say, Naya was sick November 1st. She asked her teacher, could she go to the restroom? The teacher told her no. She had been sick the night before, and I wanted her to stay home. She said because she had been suspended, she didn't want to miss any more days out of school, and I actually wanted to appeal her suspension as well. That's another story that's going through legal things. They told me I couldn't appeal her suspension, but her paperwork says that I can. So those days absent still are on her report card, and she didn't want any more on there. She went to school. She asked the teacher, could she go to the restroom? She felt sick. Teacher told her no. She asked her again, could she go to the restroom? The teacher told her no. She texted me and told me what was going on. I told her to go up to the teacher's desk and ask her again. She didn't want to walk out of class so she wouldn't get in trouble. The teacher's response, which is on video, where the teacher told her, she says, ma'am, can I go to the bathroom? I'm sick. It's an emergency. The teacher says, if you are sick and need to go to the restroom, you're going to have to walk out then, okay? Naya walks out of the classroom. She goes to the restroom. She gets sick. She goes to the nurse's office. She has a fever of 102. She is sent home. That was on a Friday. That Monday, when Naya went back to school, she was put in school suspension for walking out of that class. She remained in school suspension for 17 days. I have not been notified by the school about one of those days. So that is where we are now. And that's when I sought legal counsel, because I feel like the school is retaliating against me for bringing things to light on what's happening in the school that's supposed to be a flagship magnet school that has nothing but problems.
Yes, indeed. Wow. Yes, indeed. If you just joined us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. We're talking about the pros and cons of public schools. We had Lisa share her story earlier in the show, and now we're talking to Dale. She's sharing her story. It's probably safe to say that both of these were bad experiences. You know what I'm saying? Did you have any questions, Rigel or Mufasa, that y'all want to get into? And then we can get to the phone lines after that.
No, I don't have any questions right now.
Yeah, only thing I wanted to do was also say I saw Dale was enough to share the emails that she had from the school and the video, and I've seen them for myself, the way the school is handling this situation. Yeah, I mean, they basically ignoring her. How do you have a child in suspension for days and you don't tell the parents?
And she shouldn't have been there anyway.
Yeah, she shouldn't even have been there. I mean, it's total, the way they're handling it is wrong. It's definitely, it's in the wrong. It's ridiculous, man. I don't get this. I get it. I got my theories, but hey, maybe we should take a call and see if any callers got any input or want to shed some light on this situation, too, or has some advice for our parents or so on.
Indeed.
Okay, let's take Roger. Caller area code 901-864. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Peace, caller. Probably just listening. All right, I do have a question for you, Dale. You want to get another call?
Yeah, let's get another call. Area code 314-381. Follow you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Well, in both of these cases,
yes,
this
sir.
Last
What's
lady
up, Paul?
How
is
you doing?
Bianchi. Pretty good.
How you doing, brother?
What's going on, Bianchi?
This
What's
last lady, let me explain the hierarchy of schools. It's also referred to the first lady in Jennings. I think she was in
Riverview.
Riverview. Yeah, Riverview.
The people, stakeholders in those school districts control those schools. You do so by electing a board. The board is over the administration and also the superintendent. That's where it starts. It don't start with DESE. DESE is just make sure that the school is meeting minimum state statutes. It doesn't start with the Department of Education at the federal level unless there are civil rights issues that are being violated. If you got civil rights issues like this last lady who's talking, speaking on the old O'Fallon High School where I graduated, by the way.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Those are civil rights issues, which you can go to the Department of Education Office for Civil Rights, and also you can go to the Department of Justice for Civil Rights.
Mm.
Another point.
Can I? Okay.
Another point. Your communication should have been by certified letter to Superintendent Adams. After you had went to one of these local board members, like the Jones sisters, I can't think of Donna Jones. There are school board members that the public elect to oversee the operations and policies of the school district. A janitor, a security guard has no quote unquote skin in the game. They're just employees. Actually, they're employed by you. And I'm for, it's another reason I'm for school choice, because I think that parents should have a right. Another thing with your daughter is wanting to be something that's very needed, that is being a pilot. And to sort of get off that subject where we are, you should consult with St. Louis University or Parks College on what she needs to be doing where she can get into those aviation programs. But no, that's the way that works. Going to principals, yeah. when you had that fight, when they jumped on your child, the first thing you should have done was call the police. Was you the one? I think someone said that one of the kids, one of the males, was threatening her with gun gestures. You should have went to the police right then and there. Then also sent a certified letter to Kevin Adams. And you say you have a lawyer. School districts don't like to be sued. That's a good thing.
first off, thank you.
Yeah,
but
I would like to comment,
say,
too. I would like to comment.
Yeah.
You can go
ahead. I sent emails back and forth so that they would get to him very quickly versus certified letters to Dr. Adams. I've called his office several times. His secretary basically told me that she determines which emails and which phone calls he gets. I also was invited to speak at a school board meeting, but my attorney, due to her advice, the day of the meeting, she told me that she would prefer that I not go and speak to them because of other things that had happened since I had been invited. So I had already done all of those things that you're speaking of, minus the certified meal. But I had reached out to Dr. Adams. As far as the gun issue, I did not call the police. I talked to the boy's parent, and I notified the school about, you know, the text messages. But everything else that you said,
well,
I communicated.
Yeah, whenever you have a problem, given the atmosphere in the country with shootings in school, should have reported it to the police right away. But, you know.
And you are correct. I wish I would have.
Yeah, the other client had a question as well. Go ahead, Lynn.
Yes, I wanted to comment when he said, you know, you go to the board. I don't know if you heard me. I emailed. We have out here in Riverview a special appointed board, a special administration board, and they're appointed by the state for 10 years. It's been an SAB, three board members appointed by the state. There is no elected board in Riverview or Normandy. Do you understand me? So I am calling for that with parents. That's why I say I try to connect with parents and stuff. But I've been through the whole chain of command, from the principal to the superintendent to the special appointed board to after that to state rep and to own up to Detsy is the people who run the schools, and I hold them accountable fully.
That school district in Normandy is just Normandy has been provisional
or the worst
for,
in the Missouri
since 1990s. I used to try to get things done in Normandy, but you know that's another one of the situations that black people find themselves in these ratchet school systems, which is doing nothing but making money off
the
these kids. Now, when there
zip
was
codes, and that's why I support school choice, because these kids are zip codes in Normandy and Riverview. And they're nothing but dollar signs.
Now, let me ask you something. Is the option to bus into another district, even into the city, is that still available? Being
that
they are failing?
Program.
Is this transfer
no,
program?
No, because remember I said, Detsy gave Normandy and Riverview provisional, provisional certification. And they cheated. You know what I'm saying? It came out. It's lawsuits over this right now. It's news articles over that, how they falsified attendance records to regain provisional accreditation.
Well, let me say this. Now, this is an example where I tell you that black people are stuck in, like, in a situation that she's just described. They are just stuck, Kevin. They are stuck. Actually, there's hardly enough you can do. Now, there is something that you can do, but what you're going to have to do is take it upon yourself to make sure that your child is learning, have your child independently evaluated and find out where they are. If they're not where they should be according to their report card, then you got another claim against their school district too. But this is another instance where in these public school systems, and not all of them, you have these circumstances where people are basically stuck. Don't have what it takes to fight, don't have the means, the resources. They shouldn't have to go through these things. But that's where they are, and it's just a tragedy.
Yeah, indeed.
I was going to say, you know, thank you, caller, for calling in. That was some good information. I wanted to ask Dale now, is your daughter currently at the school, and what type of remedy are you seeking? You know what I'm saying? What type of resolution? Do you have any demands? Or what would you want? What would be, you know, suffice for you as far as a resolution on this situation?
first off, up on the information that I have gained about that school, a full investigation needs to be done into the way Gateway STEM High School is run. And based upon the proof that I have in the form of videotapes, video recordings and emails back and forth, I can prove that the administration is not serving those children in that school the way that they should. Remedies for me personally and for my child, first off, her disciplinary record, I am looking to have that completely wiped clean. I do not feel like she should have been suspended for defending herself. Okay. I do not feel like my child should have missed a total of 22 days out of the semester because 17 of those days she was kept in ISS because a teacher said she couldn't go to the restroom. So she was, first off, she was assigned 5 days ISS for that. On the last day of her ISS, there was some type of function going on at the school, and the teacher in ISS told her she could leave out of the ISS room to go to that function. It was fine with him. She went to the function, was headed to it, and ran into Dr. Phillips, the principal, who I have only spoken to one time on the phone, and when a meeting was scheduled for me to meet her last school year, left me sitting in her office 45 minutes and never showed up. She ran into my daughter in the hallway, asked her, why was she out of ISS? My daughter told her, the teacher said I could go out of ISS. She said, you shouldn't be doing that. That's another 5 days ISS. How was that her fault? That the teacher allowed her to leave, and then she gets another 5 days tacked on. So she has 5 days for being sick. The nurse sent her home with 102-degree fever. She leaves out of ISS. The teacher tells her she could do so, and then she's given another 5 days. I want her record completely wiped clean. My child went from a 3.5 grade point average to something I don't even want to discuss. The teachers are supposed to provide homework when they're suspended out of school, when they're in ISS, which I requested through emails. As I just said earlier, I like to send emails. They get there faster. That's still a record, you know, of me sending the email, and I did get responses, off-the-wall responses from some teachers, but Amy Phillips nor the superintendent, Dr. Kelvin Adams, have responded to any of my emails. My daughter has gone through depression. And I will be honest and tell you, just last week, my daughter spoke of committing suicide. Just last week, I spoke to Michael Brown, who is the assistant superintendent, and he handles, like, the social work, the counseling, that type of thing for students in the St. Louis Public School District. I have an email where I sent him about getting some of those services for Naya with everything that, and that's my daughter's name, with everything that she has gone through. And he told me he would he missed calling me on one day, but he would certainly call me the next. I have yet to hear from him. So record wiped clean, and because of all of the stress that they have caused and everything, I am seeking monetary damages as well.
Okay. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Thank you for that. If you're just joining us, family, we are talking about the pros and cons of public school education. We've had two ladies share their story. Let's go to the call lines and see if we got any callers. Roger.
Okay. Area code 314-616. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Please.
I
don't know the specificities of the show topic. I know it was something dealing with education, but it kind of escaped my mind. I was kind of catching on the back end, so you guys could reiterate for me.
We're just talking about the pros and cons of public school education, and we had two women online, and they were sharing their experiences they had with their children. As far as, you know, timeliness of the people getting back, you know, they've been brushed off as far as their claims and
different type of issues, just the way they've been dealt with. So, you know, we just talking about public school education within, you know, this particular system we're in.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm not even sure that there are some pros. I would say as a parent, maybe one of the pros is your kids have occupied time while you're at work, and they're being overseen by hopefully mature adults. But
right.
I think that the public school system has shown to be ineffective for black people, particularly. If you look at how it's structured, you know, what we have over 80% of the staff are white women, you know, and so we don't have a lot of black male teachers. And this is how the prison, the school-to-prison pipeline begins. I didn't hear the entire conversation that this last caller had, but I did hear something about the student being an ISS. You know, this kind of thing becomes a problem because when I look at that, what's the difference between putting a student in ISS and then when they go to jail, you throw them in a hole? You know, so if the school
right.
is supposed to be a reformation tool that's preparing you for life, what are our kids really getting taught? And then, you know, from the time they're in pre-K through 12th grade, they're not getting any education on credit, real estate, things that are going to actually be effective in life. Even when they take, you know, classes like PE and health and stuff like that, they're not educated on, you know, certain types of diseases and things of that nature. So from that aspect, I don't really see any pros. It's basically a lot of cons. Like I said, there are no black males really in the school system, and if they are, generally speaking, they're like PE teachers, or they have certain positions and titles that they have assigned to them. I mean, my kids are in public school. My daughter's in private school, and to be honest, I hate it. You know, like, I hate every day of my life that my kids, for the most part, are taught by people that don't look like them. I think that we need our own institutions.
It is what it is.
We need our own facilities. You know, and we need to educate our kids about what's true. You know, particularly with my youngest son, I've been having a lot of issues with his behavior. And outside of that, you know, the school that he goes to, I think it used to be a Catholic church or something to that nature. And countless times I've had to tell the after-school teacher to stop putting that Bible stuff in my son's hand. You know, and I was very clear. You know, and very respectful that what my position on a lot of this stuff is, but it goes to show you that they don't give a fuck. And I mean, outside of that, you know, maybe I'm the only one that's experienced this, but it seems to me like in the public school system, they're protecting the parents from their kids more so than they're protecting the kids from each other and things of that nature. Because look at how many school shootings and stuff like that kids have been doing lately. Or, you know,
right.
it seems like bullying has been a big trend. So
right,
I'm trying
right.
to get an understanding of what are our kids really getting out of this.
Exactly. That's a great question.
Yeah,
go ahead, brother.
And I'm, one more quick thing. Like, even within the system from primary to secondary, the only ones that are selected are the ones that are academically inclined, or the ones that can put balls through hoops or jump over trees. And, you know, it's the encouragement to get your kids to go to college so they can get exploited in another level. So you go from one plantation to the next. You're bought, sold, and exploited for your talents, abilities, and your labor.
Yes, sir. And that's what the school is basically preparing you for, to be in labor. But, yeah, thank you,
caller.
You brought some good info. And right on, 100. We appreciate that. 100. We're coming down to like the last 17 minutes of the show. And just real quick, you know, as far as the education, we kind of touched on this before. I basically think, you know, there's a difference between education and training. You know, this Brother Kev, so Brother Kev, I like to keep everything within the context of the white supremacy system. And, of course, it has affected public schools, even though you can have a black principal. You know, you can have a black superintendent like Dr. Kelvin or Adams is here in St. Louis. So you can have black people in these positions. However, due to the system, the black children are always going to be treated differently, even if it's by black staff, like I say. You know what I'm saying? And the caller made a good point. Yes, most of these teachers are white women. You see what I'm saying? The head of DESE is a white woman. You dig what I'm saying? So they are in these positions, and we know, you know, based on the system, that our kids are going to be handled differently. You see what I'm saying? That's why it's very important, and it's key for the parents to, you know, we're going to have to take a lot of situations in our hands and make sure that our kids are on code when they go into these institutions and understand what time it is. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, you know, we may be setting them up for failure if we don't tell them the truth of how things go in this particular world under this particular system. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that would just be my point. As far as the pros and cons, I think pros with the parents, like the caller said, yes, you get to send your kid off for 8 hours or so while you're at work or doing, you know, providing for your family. That's probably one of the only pros that I can think of. As far as the kids go, a pro would be they learn how to socialize and, you know, make friends, deal with people. You know, you have situations, how do you resolve them, and things of that nature. The cons, as far as the parents, we have to, again, we're going to have to be the ones that educate our kids and don't look, because once the school teaches them how to read and write, that's pretty much the most they're going to get on an educational level. You dig what I'm saying? Because most of what they're teaching as far as social studies and history are a bunch of lies that you have to relearn when you get out of school. So, you know, it's the education is what they get when they experience things, apply things in life, prepare for life, and come to know things, which they don't get that at school. What they get at school is training, training to be a consumer, training to get a job, fill out an application, things of that nature. But for me, they don't really, you know, teach the kids real life skills. Those are things that the parents are going to, we're going to have to teach our own kids those type of things. You know, so I'm going to just leave it right there for now. I'm going to give it, you know, to my brother Mufasa Rogers. If y'all want to add on and ask the caller some questions in the last 14 minutes here of the show.
Well, let me piggyback real quick off what you said and what the caller said. And I have to go this way. It's just, I just got to speak my heart and my feelings on this. This system is set up for black people to fail. It's a shame that I'm listening to these stories, and I know that these schools that both of these parents are talking about is predominantly black schools. My kids always went to predominantly black schools, and I could go spend an hour or so on this show just telling you the problems I've had in the public school system. I'm looking at it as the solution and the answer is homeschooling and making and creating our own schools, because like the first parent, and I don't know if she got a chance to allude into this yet, but I know she basically had to send her school out into another school district, which is a predominantly white school. And see, man, this is my opinion, all that is by design, because when we take our kids and we send them away, it's why do we have to send our kids away from where they live? Away from
you're right.
From their family. It's ridiculous. That's by design. Our kids should be able to be in their communities and get to know their kids and be safe at their own schools and get the same learning that they have, that they can get being shipped off somewhere. Because all they do when they get shipped off, they get programmed to be something other than them, and they still feel a certain type of way. I had a daughter that was in the DCA program, and I've talked to her about that. In the DCA program still, I'm just going off her story because everybody's different. But she would always tell me that still, even out there, you got the white kids sit with the white kids and the black kids sit with the black kids. So you're still trying right. to force something to fit that just don't fit. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. We need our own for ourselves. And it's by design that they make it to where our kids. Look, I had a daughter that went to Northwest Academy of Law. When she went to that school, they had a mock courtroom in the school, sending kids off to internships to be with law firms. And within a year, that all failed, crumbled. Here it is, the caller there got a child at STEM, Gateway STEM. Come on now. And this type of mess is going on at the school, and you can't get a response from the administration. The administration can't reach out and talk to you.
Now, can
they
I
run,
say something to that right
away.
There, Mufasa?
Go ahead.
Mufasa,
go ahead.
This is Dale again. Now,
yeah,
I do
ahead.
Know that the principal is getting my emails. I do know, because every time that I send her an email, she makes a little wisecrack to my daughter at school. And the last one was when my daughter went to her office, and you saw that video where she went to her office to ask her about why she was in ISS, and I sent her an email about it. She says to she said to my daughter, "You're not in ISS because you walked out of class because you're sick. You were in ISS for some other reason. So why would you tell my child and not tell me?" Now,
right.
Now I find that horrible for her to do. But on a positive note, and I have to say this because not all teachers are like that. Not all administrators are like that. I have had teachers that have secretly sent me emails and notes to tell me how wonderful my child is and everything, and if there's anything that I need to let them know, they're just in jeopardy and are afraid, you know, of being put in jeopardy of losing their jobs.
And you see
okay?
that right there?
So,
see
so
right
she
there?
Does
that's
have
the
support at that school. So I just wanted to say that.
And that's ridiculous in itself. And I commend those teachers. That's a shame. That just shows you they got to speak in secret. They got to speak in secret to do something that's being righteous. What they're trying to do is something righteous, but if they do it, they get lashed at and get attacked on. You should never lash and attack a teacher or a parent for trying to do something that's righteous and positive for children. That's how we know that they wicked. They wicked and they wrong.
They
for
said
what they're
they
doing.
Never had a parent, never had a parent that took the steps that I have taken to get answers.
That's what they bank on. That's
right,
what
right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
We
you know they
say, get steamrolled over.
Exactly. Yeah, you know they say that, you know, one of the complaints that they say is black parents are not involved in the school and things like that. Now we have situations where a black parent is involved in her child's, you know, schooling and trying to get answers, and there's some pushback. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know.
That's what's happening now. With parents being banned.
Exactly.
Concerned
so,
parents
yeah.
are being banned.
Concerned parents are being banned. Right. So we coming down to the last 8 minutes, y'all. You know, I don't know if we want to, because we do like to offer solutions. I think this has been a very good talk. The callers came in. They had some good information to share with Lisa and Dale. So, you know, as far as some solutions, I don't know if Mufasa or Rigel want to go in. How can we deal as far as parents? Because, like one call alluded to, the parents are kind of stuck. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I'm in a situation where my kids are young, pre-K and first grade, but I'm really dreading, you know, middle school, not to mention high school. You see what I'm saying? If, you know, we still in the St. Louis area, but I'm kind of dreading those situations and hearing these stories. Or making me, you know, kind of dread it even more. And I'm really personally want to consider homeschooling or just finding a better environment than a quote-unquote St. Louis public school to send my kids that's not go break the bank. You know what I'm saying? That's not go be like a college tuition just so they can, you know, get a quote-unquote, get this training.
I'll be real quick on solution because I know we run out of time. Solution one, if you are in this public school system, I know I sent my kid to a African center school by the name of Pomoja. Pomoja was going up to the eighth grade. Now they have extended that into high school, which is the old summer. It's the African center school that teaches kids knowledge itself. If you have to stay in the school district, I say look that up. But also we need to pull our resources together and get like a guide of good teachers, good individuals who do homeschooling. And we need to start putting those people together in some type of manner, a website or whatnot, where people can look those people up and say, hey, and maybe I can't homeschool myself, but I want to take my kid out of home, out of the public school system, and we can look for other solutions that way. The other thing, and I have to say this because me being a member of the Nation of Islam, we have a school called Islam of I'm getting so upset. My tongue getting tired now. Muhammad University. And it's strictly ran by the Nation of Islam, and we do our own program, not ran by the government. It's not dependent on government funds. We teach our own children. So you just have, my opinion, look for outside resources outside of the school district, you know, because I feel at this point we'll be another 100 years trying to turn this crap around and getting them to change directions. But if we can, hey, feel free. That's all good. I don't see it happening.
Yes, indeed. We'll give it to Riser to get the last word. Before we do that, just want to thank all the callers and thank my two special guests, Lisa and Dale, for sharing your story. You know, I would say keep fighting, stay diligent, you know, stay on their head, and, you know, I hope y'all get some type of redress for y'all situation. Riser Star, you want to end with some solutions? What do you think parents can do as far as, you know, sending their kids to these public schools?
Basically, just like what most people have already acknowledged, you definitely just have to stay involved. You know, you have to stay involved, like the guests are doing, and like so many other parents are doing too. I know there's some that's not, but ideally it's going to start with at least staying involved and being involved with your kids' education and their environment. You know, because it still goes back to what I've said before, it's mean individuals, you know, that it sounds like we have the issues with. We're coming in contact with mean-spirited individuals who do these things and inflict these damages upon us and our children. So we have to stay involved. We have to be involved in just our kids' upbringing, and we all know that, and I know the people that's on the phone understand that, but we have to, you know, get this message out to you know, to all the parents, because once all the parents get involved, then that's almost like a movement to try to make a change, you know, because
the perfect thing. It takes all parent involvement. This is the
That's what
it
we're trying to
all
do.
Parent, all parent involvement.
Right.
And we have decided to try and team up and do is to start a model program here in St. Louis that's based off of an organization called Memphis Lift. They have made major changes in their public school districts in Memphis, Tennessee. And we are trying to start something here like that for parents to come together and start an organization to where we would have more control and more say-so and everything and get parents really involved in the St. Louis Public School District. Otherwise, we're wasting our money. And just like Desi, I feel like, why are they there? They tell you to call Desi, to complain to Desi, but Desi is not doing anything. So what use are they? That's a waste of tax dollars. So I just wanted to say that.
All
well,
right.
Yeah, it has to be, you know, I guess it has to be more structured better. But this was a great conversation. I'd like to thank everybody for calling. All our guests, all our listeners, all our supporters, please continue to follow us and tune in with us every Sunday, Central Standard Time, starting at 6 p.m. Find us on Facebook. Find us on Instagram. Find us everywhere. We in the minds.
Collective
minds.
That's right,
collective minds.
Collective
minds.
Stand on your square, we on the curve, we about to earn up. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's on or a new point, calling with your new point. From head to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers. Of the queens and the kings, we gon' get into some things. We been going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who we been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking
like